It's the Fish Tank with Michael Fisher.
Producer of this show comes up with three topics. He really believes them at the bottom of his heart.
On Sports Radio, The Ticket.
It's true. I do really believe them at the bottom of my heart. And I'm here to tell LeBron James and Kevin Durant they need to start believing that they made super teams. Kevin Durant, of course, came out and said, Warriors on a super team. Curry was a number one pick. Thompson was an okay shooter. Then Draymond Green, of course, took some shots, said LeBron made a super team. LeBron clapped back, said, I didn't make super teams. I didn't invent them. Guess what? Start owning up to the fact that you made the super team, because super teams are the best thing that ever happened to the NBA. Does anyone remember the 2004 NBA Finals? Who won that? The Pistons? Can anyone name more than two players on that team besides you, Chris Lewis?
I can name their entire starting lineup, yeah. But it's okay.
Can the average person?
No.
Exactly. That's why super teams are great. They give us something to watch. They give us a team to root against, or in Bob's case, root for. I'm assuming you're a Warriors fan, Bob.
A little bit.
It gives the sport something to watch for, because you know, okay, the Warriors are going to be there. Who's going to upstage them in the Eastern Conference? Can the Celtics do it this year? Can the 97 Bulls do it if they somehow all came out of retirement? It gives the sport something to watch, and I love it. So, Chris Lewis, sink or swim, super teams, best thing that ever happened to the NBA.
For those unfamiliar, sink means we disagree, swim means we agree with you, and this is a 100% swim out the gates. What I've been making, the NBA has been better when you have top-heavy teams. I'm less stringent on using the word super team because, you know, they're not working with a different set of rules.
Start believing it.
They're not working with a different set of rules.
Embrace it, Chris Lewis.
But these are teams that are top-heavy. They have, you know, superstars near the top of their roster. And it's fantastic. In fact, the golden era of basketball, a lot of you old heads tell me, are the 80s. There was just the documentary on ESPN this week, 30 for 30, on the Celtics-Lakers rivalry. Those rosters were about as top-heavy as the Cavs roster and the Warriors roster. Take a look at who were on those teams. Add the Sixers to the mix, and they had like all of the league superstars on those three teams, and the level of basketball that you saw because of the top-heavy rosters were fantastic throughout the 80s, and it got a generation into basketball. It really helped grow the sport, launched it into the 90s when Michael Jordan came about. So, yes, the history of this tells you that parity might work in the NFL. It might be what you want to sell. In the NBA, you want to have the illusion of parity, but you really don't want to have it. The 70s were filled with parity. A lot of different teams made trips to the NBA Finals. The 70s, the lost decade of the NBA. The 80s, the 90s, and this current period of basketball is what people love in the National Basketball Association. So do your homework and do the research. It'll tell you, yes, top-heavy teams, superstars at the top, same teams year after year. That's what gets people interested. 100% swim.
Bob?
I'm going to swim also, but I'm going to go to other sports as well. Think about NFL football. When do the ratings become the best? When the Cowboys are up there, when the Steelers are up there, when the Packers are up there, the household names of teams. The Patriots have become a household name, but if you go back before Bob Kraft owned the team, the Patriots were a joke. So, again, I think all the leagues want to have identifiable teams nationally. You obviously want the team in your local market to be doing well and be competitive, but from a national scope, all the leagues want to have somebody that people, like you say, either want to tune in to watch, to root for, or root against. Notre Dame, when they're really good in college football is up.
Is it college athletics, the whole definition of super teams?
But it's name of school, front
exactly.
Name, not back.
But they're also the ones who get the most talent, typically, because the whole cycle of if you're good, you stay good because you can get the best talent available. People love college sports with that dynastic element in mind, and that's the model that works. So in a way, kind of learn from college athletics is that, you know, Notre Dame's of the world, Alabama's, love to hate them. Basketball, Duke, UCLA, same kind of thing.
Now we'll go to baseball. There's been some super teams like the Yankees or the Red Sox. So what do they benefit from? The fact that international players are not in the Major League Baseball draft. They're just allowed to be signed by anyone. Ayusha Tanaka, 7 years, $155 million before he threw a Major League pitch. Yoan Makata, considered to be the number one prospect in baseball right now, signed by the Red Sox. 6 years, $51 million. He's now on the White Sox after the Chris Sale trade. Chris Bryant, number one overall pick back in 2014, got a $6 million signing bonus for 1 year. See the issue with the cash there, and that's why MLB Draft, please include international players in it. For one, the amount of money they're making, like I said, with Tanaka and Makata, it limits the teams. The Phillies, they're not going to sign any international players. The Marlins definitely aren't going to sign any international players. It limits it to the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, sometimes the Rangers. If we include international players in the draft, the bad teams get better, and the league becomes more parity. I know we just talked about super teams, but in baseball, you can't have a super team over 162 games. We're learning that this year with the Cubs. So, Bob, sink or swim, MLB draft needs to now include international players. Makes the whole talent pool a lot better.
For the most part, I will say swim. There is a change to the international pool. You're only allowed now to spend so much money. There is a cap on international signings, so some of the storied franchises that have gone to the well for international players aren't able to go after they've spent a certain amount of money. But I've always believed that international players, much like basketball, should be in the draft. It shouldn't be first come, first serve. If you want to take the player from Cuba or from the Dominican, they should be in the draft as well. I think the hard one to put in the draft would be the Japanese players, because they come over as usually late 20s, early 30s, established players that may or may not want to come. They want to basically pit one team against another to negotiate for their rights. A little bit different, but I do think for the most part, overall, I swim with the idea that the international players are in the pool.
Chris?
I'm going to sink this, and I'm going to come up with a different way. How about instead of putting the international players in the draft, how about you put the players who are in the draft in the same system that the international players are in? So instead of having a draft, you get rid of it and just everybody's available to be signed. And you just go, you attack it from that perspective. No, there's no draft. If you want to divide the money up where worse teams have more money to spend on guys, maybe you can convince me that way. But why do we need the draft necessarily? How about you just let everybody on the open market and see what happens from there?
65, they went to the draft in baseball. They did it because the Yankees were winning all the time. I don't know whether they would ever want to get rid of a draft for that reason.
Oh, man, the Yankees winning. Baseball sucks when the Yankees are good. I mean, people watch the sport and people get interested in the game, man. You don't want anything like that to happen.
No, of course not. Never.
No.
And finally, we'll go to the NFL. They have a ridiculous rule that comes to the fact that rookie players not allowed to work out until their college system ends. Basically, Christian McCaffrey was the big name. Stanford just ended classes yesterday for the quarter system. He didn't even enroll in classes, but he was not allowed to work out at Panthers training camp until then, while other players have been going to OTAs and mini camps. Maybe call me an upset Saints fan that our offensive tackle just tore his shoulder today. But the NFL, you need to come up with a rule that every player starts practice at the same time. Is it wait until all the college players are done with college, or right after the draft? We've seen a lot of injuries already, torn ACLs. We've already seen one guy retire in Dennis Pitta with a hip injury. This is giving the rookies almost an advantage. What if Jonathan Stewart tears his ACL because Christian McCaffrey couldn't work out? McCaffrey's a bona fide starter. Jonathan Stewart had no chance. So NFL needs a set deadline. All players will start practice now, not before, not after. Doesn't matter if they're in school or a 20-year vet. Sink or swim, Chris Lewis.
I'm going to swim with this, and I'm going to swim for the reason of, I just think the NFL needs a rule that everybody starts on the same day and you just go from there, because this whole OTA, voluntary, not necessary, but kind of suggested, but you might be fined if you don't go, but you might not be fined, but we'll still almost cut you. Like, this whole thing's too doggone complicated of when to work out, when do you really start, when do you really end. Just have one day where everybody starts, and it's a lot more simple to follow, and nobody's at a disadvantage, nobody's at an advantage. Everybody has the same basic training going into the NFL season. I feel like everybody should agree on something like that instead of this voluntary mess.
Bob?
I wonder if really these OTAs and things are worth what they get out of them, with the chance of losing somebody. I'll be the czar. July 1, nobody starts before July 1. No OTAs, no mini camps, etc.